Item number four, discussion and possible action on the report from our technical consultant, Ryan Londine of Half Associates. Ryan, you have the floor.
Thank you, Anthony. All right, yeah, I wanted to give y'all an update on where we're at. So we're going to just cover some general updates with the plan in general. Then the main focus of the meeting is to look at kind of where we're at on the amendment and look at the final FMXs that we've developed to go into the amendment. We also developed a community questionnaire, and I wanted to cover that because we'll be releasing that in January. And then looking ahead at some next steps, what are we looking at as far as decisions that y'all have to make and what we're going to be doing coming up in the new year. Some general updates. We had a meeting with the Texas Water Development Board hosted a meeting with the chairs and the sponsors. They ended up wrapping in the technical consultants as well. So it ended up being a technical consultant call as well. It was really informative as far as letting us know when they're going to be delivering some really important information to us. So for instance, right now we're still waiting on Exhibit C and Exhibit D, which are guidelines for the next flood planning cycle, basically our standard operating procedures for how we need to approach these tasks, what are the guidelines and rules that we need to follow when finishing out these tasks and chapters. We've been kind of waiting on those to really get started on this flood planning cycle. We've been waiting on that guidance to get started, but we should be getting that this December, this month. So we'll be reviewing that information, making sure there's no drastic changes from last cycle, and that will then allow us to really get started on the next flood planning cycle. So two key elements there that we're waiting on from the Texas Water Development Board. The other things that they're going to be providing are building footprints in the spring of 2025. This is really critical for us for the existing and future flood risk analysis that we're doing for the region. They're supposed to be updating their building footprints, and we'll take the flood risk information, we call it the flood quilt, and use those building footprints to understand level of flood risk and how all types of different analysis, most specifically on task 2A, 2B, and 4A. So those should be coming out in spring of 2025. And then future conditions, Fathom data. Fathom is basically a flood risk product or flood mapping product that's developed by a company called Fathom. Y'all are probably familiar with that from the last cycle. We have Fathom data for this cycle, but we're still waiting on the future conditions. So task 2B is a future flood risk evaluation, and we'll be using that future Fathom data to help inform some decisions with that task, and that will be early 2025 when we're getting that. There were other things talked about at that meeting, but that was most pertinent to for our technical consultant side of things. So
I've got a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
In regards to the building footprints, I was curious how comprehensive those are. And is that a public data set?
It will be a public data set. And last time it was pretty comprehensive. It was a really good data set. And that's why we're waiting on that, because we trust it to be thorough and we want to use that for this analysis. I think all the regions are waiting on that because it is a good data set.
Is there any elevation data on the footprints?
Do you recall? I don't think so.
There was not in the previous cycle. I think they are looking at potentially adding that. I don't know for all structures or some structures, but that is a potential addition that we will receive with this new data set.
I see that. That's huge, because that's one of the things we're trying to protect in this process is structures.
Yeah. So, for instance, with Task 2A, we'll take that flood quilt, the flood risk information that we gather from BLE or FEMA or Fathom. We'll kind of layer those together to make a flood risk quilt for the whole community, and we'll take those building footprints, intersect it with that data so that we can have an understanding of what structures are at flood risk and by how much. And that will help y'all make some decisions going forward on those tasks. And for looking at projects and how they benefit certain communities, we'll use the information from those FMXs, those like flood risk reduction, stuff like that. We'll use that information intersected with the building footprint so that we can quantify flood risk reduction. So it's a really important data set that that we are waiting on. That should be out early next year. So this is kind of the, okay, Sujeet.
Go ahead, Sujeet.
Thank you, Chair. Ryan, we're talking about the schedules and all. Where's the contract? Did they authorize, did we get you monies right there to do all what you're planning to do, or when is that going to come into play?
Yeah, we're all under contract. I think we personally have a few sub-consultants that we're just finalizing their contracts. But yeah, we've got everything ready for us to move forward.
So, thank you.
So this is kind of a high-level schedule for y'all to look at. I think broken out by the first phase. The first phase is really tasks 1 through 4A. And on September 19th, of 2025, we will have a technical memorandum that covers an overview of each of these tasks, and that is supposed to be delivered to Texas Water Development Board. They'll review it, and once they approve it, then that's when we can move on to the next phase of the flood planning cycle. So this is the first phase schedule here. We've already started task one, and we're kind of moving forward on that. That's just a general description of the region. Task 2A, are going to start soon. We're going to do some kickoffs here internally to start looking at flood quilt information. So we're going to be looking at, you know, what existing flood risk information is out there, base level engineering, new base level engineering data, FEMA mapping, new modeling, all that kind of stuff, to see what kind of flood risk information is out there, and then what do we want to use to develop a region-wide flood risk quilt. So that's what we're commencing on soon. We are needing those building footprints to finish out task 2A, but it doesn't mean we can't get started on some of those elements. So we're trying to get a head start on that. 2B is future flood risk analysis. We're going to wait to start that until we see what that future Fathom data is. So we probably won't be starting that until April, May-ish, or whenever we get that data is when we'll start kicking off that task. And then we are also, I have a slide later talking about our questionnaire, but we have a questionnaire that's going to go out to communities where we can get feedback from them about management practices in the region and what kind of issues are they having, stuff like that. We should be getting that in around end of March, so that starts 1 month ahead. It should be the end of March, early April is when we're going to close out that questionnaire and get all that feedback from communities, and that will allow us to look at management practices in the region, which is task 3A, and then a needs analysis, which is 3B. And then task 3C, which is our goals, we're going to go ahead and get started that in February. So at the next meeting, we'll start talking about goals for the region if we want to update them and stuff like that. All those tasks, again, are going to be summarized in the technical memorandum. And so that's kind of what we're shooting for. And then task 4A, that's the FMX stuff that we've been doing with the amendment. Same type of thing, but for the next cycle. So we'll be gathering and identifying and looking at FMXs for the 2028 plan. And that will continue on. Through the rest of the year, where we'll start evaluating some of the FMXs, and then we're doing a final selection under task 5. So that's kind of further out. So that's the red line is where we're at December. And so you can see we started task 1, and we'll be starting task 2A soon.
Any questions from the group in regards to schedule for Ryan? Not seeing any. Go ahead, Ryan.
I wanted to provide an update on the amendment, which is kind of the main topic today. So last meeting, we had opened up the amendment. We got a lot of FMXs in from different communities across the region. We presented those to y'all at the last meeting in a more preliminary format. Since our last meeting, we've been heavily coordinating with communities to finish out whole list of data sets that were data points that we need to hit to get these FMXs to be to hit the qualifications of the Texas Water Development Board. So we've been working with communities to get more information about those FMXs and finalizing those tables. And so that's complete. I think my next slide will cover some synopsis of that effort. Moving forward, the next goal is on February 20th, we are going to actually create the amendment document and have y'all vote on it. So that will be the next milestone for y'all. If y'all have comments on the amendment, we are kind of putting March 20th as a placeholder for another meeting. So if y'all have comments at the February meeting, then we can address those and bring it back to y'all on March 20th. If not, if y'all are okay with it, we can vote to approve it on February 20th meeting, and we'll submit it to the Texas Water Development Board April 1st, 2025. So that's where we're at. So moving forward, the next couple of months, we're going to be busy creating the actual amendment documentation that's required by the Texas Water Development Board and get all the data and everything kind of squared away for their requirements. A little bit of a delay. So this is just kind of a brief summary of the FMXs that we collected. Again, an FMX is an FME, which is a study, FMS, which is a strategy, and an FMP, which is a project. We were only collecting FMEs and FMSs for this amendment, or we were collecting FMPs if it was already, the data was already collected and it was in the previous plan, but we just need to make an adjustment or go from non-recommended to recommended. So what we got 78 new FMEs and then 20 new FMSs, so a good amount to 98 total. And then we've got a few revisions. So there were a few FMEs, FMSs, and FMPs that were in the previous floodplain cycle, and they wanted some changes made, either a cost or a description or a name, that kind of stuff. Those have been updated as well. So a total of 113 FMX revisions. There were a few FMPs that we received from different communities that were new. We told them that we weren't accepting those, and those are going to be rolled into the 2028 flood planning cycle. I think everyone was understanding of that. And then we had one FME that we presented last time that didn't make it to this list because we didn't get the required information from that community to support that FME. So there's really just one FME that didn't make it to the final list. Our efforts, or the FMX, covers 31 communities, so there's 23 cities and 8 counties that had submitted FMXs for the amendment, and this is kind of an overview of what those different types. So FMEs, we had several master drainage plans, which is basically looking at flood risk and developing projects for their community. Preliminary engineering is they have a project that they have a really good understanding of, but they need to do a little bit of effort to get the project to match the FMP criteria, like doing a benefit cost analysis or something like that. And then regional watershed studies was another bigger FME. Those are just looking at flood risk in an area. They don't have, like, maybe it's just zone A, or they don't have any flood mapping. So this is just a study to evaluate what the current flood risk is. So those were the top three FMEs that we got. FMSs, we got a lot of regulatory and guidance, which is basically drainage criteria updates or floodplain regulations, and then property acquisition and elevation is pretty self-explanatory. For infrastructure projects, that was evaluating like existing storm sewer infrastructure, kind of doing an analysis for rehabilitation, stuff like that. It's not really a project, it's more of an analysis of current infrastructure needs. And then 5 was flood measurement and warning. So that's gauges, flood early warning systems, stuff like that. So those are the kind of overview of what we received and the different types and the spread and all that kind of stuff. So okay. Any questions on this?
Yeah, I have a question. This is Anthony Beach. On the one FME that was not included, has that stakeholder been notified, and did we let them know why they weren't being included?
We reached out to them several times saying we have this, we need this data by this point, and if you don't meet that deadline, we're not going to be able to include it in the amendment. I don't think we've ever officially notified them that this is no longer in the amendment, so we should just need to do that. But we did notify them several times that it was at risk of not making the amendment. So
how are y'all distinguishing the difference between a master drainage plan and a regional watershed study?
So, good question. Regional watershed studies is just looking at updating maps. So, if they have a region of their community that is zone A, or they don't have any flood maps, or it's old FEMA maps, this is just a study to go in and map everything. The master drainage plan is that plus developing flood mitigation projects to address some of the flood risks. So, it's just that one extra level of of analysis to develop basically FMPs out of that. So,
Sujeet.
Thank you, Anthony. Ryan, I have a question because going through this FMS, we have a property acquisition and elevation right there. And how does this fit into our goals and objectives, what we established right there? Because given multiple entities are all going to be in the same acquisition, and acquisition is probably isolated spots or maybe combined in an entire subdivision or something. But to me, this is bothersome right there that we have those FMS right there picking on property acquisition as part of the state flood plan.
Well, it removes structures from flood risk, so that would achieve a few of the goals to reduce flood risk within your region. So that's what we flagged that specific goal to. So it's not property acquisition for flood mitigation projects. It's more property acquisition for removing structures out of the floodplain. So elevating or removing structures is what the intent and focus of those specific FMSs were.
But again, the big picture, I thought when we looked into it, I think one of the goals was, if I recall, any public facilities or hospitals or something, that was one of it, if it is in the flood zone elevation, but individual places right there, maybe you need to take a look at more closely with what we have on our more identified objectives. And if you need to change that or something, that's a whole different type, but just take a look at that, if you don't mind, please.
Yeah, we can revisit the goals too, with that in mind. I do think this fits the goals as we wrote them last cycle. And I think this does kind of fit. We had several FMSs in the last cycle that were property acquisition. And so just kind of following the previous, since this is an amendment of the previous cycle, we're just trying to follow those guidelines that we had set then and the goals that we set then. If we want to revisit this for the next cycle, we certainly can, for sure.
Thank you, Sujeet. Anything else?
No, I'm fine. Thank you. I think that addresses, I think he's looking into those. That's critical. Thank you.
Yeah, and Alicia, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, just piggybacking off of Sujeet's thing, I think it could look to be like that it's a local thing as opposed to regional, and I don't know if that's what he's trending at. But I do know there's times where you can do projects and you just can't get those last few out. And so the best thing is maybe buyouts. And so what I view this as being complementary with the FEMA federal program for buyouts. And so I think that may have been where the state was kind of trending, but I could see his concern of making sure it wasn't hyper-localized. So that may be, Ryan, where we just need to make sure it's those structures are actually affiliated with what would be a regional flooding issue and not a local flooding issue.
Okay. Thank you, Alicia. You got that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, for sure. If the next cycle, we can take a look at that again, and we can look at the goals too to make sure it's everything is tailored to more regional. The last cycle, we did allow this property buyout and property acquisition as a entry. So we were just trying to fit the spirit of that, but we can certainly look at it for the next cycle. So. And we also did provide those PDF tables. I assume y'all got those and saw those that go into every single detail that Texas Water Development Board is asking. It's a lot, but those tables are there if you want to look at one specifically. So those are online website, right? Pam, you posted those on the website? Yeah. We did get a few requests that came in after our October 18th deadline. I wanted to talk about those. There's one from McGregor, City of McGregor. It was a citywide master drainage plan. They presented that maybe a week after our deadline. And our intent is not to include it in the amendment, but to roll it into the 2028 plan because they missed the deadline of the amendment. We also got three other FMEs. We've got two from Brazoria County. One was a master drainage plan, and one was a study of the Brazos River. That's kind of piggybacking off some of the effort that was done in Fort Bend County. They presented that to us, but they understood that they missed the deadline and were totally cool with us just putting it into the 2028 plan. But they said, hey, if it can go in the amendment, well, obviously we went in the amendment. I told them, no, y'all missed the deadline. They said, okay. And then the city of College Station, they've been really engaged with us, but they had this dam failure analysis come in as I guess their hazard mitigation plan that they're working on. And they asked, hey, can we put this in the amendment real quick? And I said, no, we missed the deadline, but we'll roll it into the 2028 plan. And they seem to understand that as well. So I just wanted to present these to y'all, what our plan is for those. So
go ahead, Sujeet.
Well, Chair, if you look at it, of the four, three are not official requests, and one is probably a request. And what would it take for us to add this as a plan? Granted, they're 10 days late. So it's just one of those X's right there, if you can add on, especially the city of McGregor. So I don't know. I want to take the pulse of the rest of the group members to see if we can push that to be part of the current amendment process compared to the rest three of them.
How does the board feel about squeezing in an additional project? Alicia?
I think it's a can of worms, right? There's probably a whole lot of people, if they knew they got another 10 days, might have submitted, right? You just don't know who didn't submit because the deadline passed. So I feel like we gave adequate time, and we see some tiny guys came in. I think they just need to roll. That's my opinion.
Brandon?
I agree with that. Deadlines are deadlines. And if this was the first set of deadlines or whatever that we were missing, that would be one thing. But this is like the second or third or fourth or something deadlines. People need to meet deadlines.
I don't have an issue.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Based on that, we'll just leave all of these defined as late amendment requests and will be included in the 2028 plan.
Okay. Any questions on the amendment before I get close out the community questionnaire? Again, we'll be bringing y'all the final document or the draft document, final document in February for y'all to vote on. So I wanted to bring in front of you our community questionnaire. We did this last cycle. What this is intended to do is to get feedback from communities. So it's a questionnaire to ask some different information about what y'all's existing flood risk in your community. Are there certain areas that flood that are not necessarily mapped or not shown on a flood quilt that y'all think needs to be shown on a flood quilt? What are y'all's flood management practices? What are y'all's flood regulations look like? Do you have drainage criteria? Are y'all enforcing it? How are y'all enforcing it? Stuff like that. Risk reduction efforts. Are there FMXs, essentially? Is there an FME, FMP, or FMS that y'all want to be included in the regional flood plan? And then ongoing studies that they're doing or ongoing projects that they're doing so that we can have the plan reflect those. So it's really just a way for us to collect that information from them. Doesn't mean that we won't talk to them over the phone or the email or other ways. It's just kind of an introductory questionnaire for them to get in contact with us and give us some of this preliminary information. And so it's kind of part of our task 10 data collection and public outreach effort. So we do have a trial version of this questionnaire up. It's lowerbrazos.half.com. So Half is hosting it. And it's so y'all are welcome to go in there and look around and try it out. We've made several updates from the previous cycle. If y'all recall from last cycle, the survey was pretty intense. There were a lot of questions, and it was a little intimidating to work through, and it took a lot of effort. And I know a lot of these communities are busy and they don't necessarily have the time to spend hours and hours filling out a questionnaire. So we went, now that we know how we were going to use this information and what is the more important information that we need for the flood plan, we really tailored it down on the questions to more limited to 23 questions. And we also created a map that's a little bit more user-friendly. So one single interactive map where they can go in and drop information for their community that way as well. And then there's some available information as far as like a glossary of terms and definitions to help provide clarity there and some contact information. So really try to make this questionnaire less intimidating and more inviting for communities to use it and make it more cognizant of their limited time. So those are the major changes that we've made to the questionnaire. We plan on, I wanted to wait till after the holidays to send it out because everyone's busy and I want to wait until everyone gets back into the office. So we plan on sending this out early January, pending any comments from y'all. If y'all have any comments, we have the time now to make some of those changes to the questionnaire before we send it out. So if we send it out early January, we will also follow up via email and phone calls to make sure they got the initial questionnaire invite. And if they have any questions or need help navigating that questionnaire website, we're going to make ourselves available to help with that. And then we're going to put a deadline on the questionnaire of March 28th, just considering the deadline of September to get some of this initial phase one done. A lot of this information we get from communities will support tasks one through four. So we're trying to close it out March 28th so that you can process that information, give it to y'all, and then that can inform some of y'all's decisions and help us develop some of these chapters before the technical memo. So we will, again, send that out January, deadline March, and then in the April meeting, we will present our findings from this questionnaire and kind of summarize it for y'all at that meeting.
This is Anthony Beach. So the questionnaire will form the basis for the upcoming FMXs for 2028?
This is an avenue for them to submit FMXs, but we will also be getting other information from them. So for instance, one of the tasks that we do is we look at how are all the communities handling flood regulations. And so what we use this questionnaire for is we get feedback from communities like how stringent are your flood regulations? Where can we find those? Like where are your flood regulations that you enforce? And how are you enforcing it? And we can use that information to help develop the task 3B, I think. So y'all can see region-wide, how are communities enforcing floodplain management and regulations? And is it consistent across the region? Or are there some regions that are more stringent versus others? That kind of stuff. So
the FMX collection will come later?
It's actually through this. So they'll also have the opportunities to submit, hey, these are my flood management regulations, but I also have this FMX I'd like to submit here. So this will be an avenue for them to submit that. We will also accept FMXs other means through email if they want to, but this is kind of the main avenue to submit that information to us. So. I think Alicia.
Yeah, Alicia, go ahead.
And just real quick, Ryan, will you reach out to Stephanie and TFMA and let's see if we can get them to, as all the regions are starting, people still don't know what region we're in because we don't line up with a lot of other things, but maybe they can start blasting this information out also to the Texas Floodplain Managers Association as the regions are ready. I think it would be another great tool to get out to people as we start needing data, especially these poor guys who are stuck in more than one region, you know, and the counties may not realize what's going on. So just another avenue.
So what kind of, you're talking about the surveys or the questionnaires or
I just think the awareness of deadlines, you know, so, you know, if we're at doing this call for information, I think we need to get it out as many ways as we can. And that first bit of information, like you're talking about what standards do people use, you're really targeting floodplain administrators at that point. There's no better way to get the floodplain administrators than TFMA.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I'll coordinate with Stephanie. So Stephanie's with TFMA, but she's also with the Trinity Regional Flood Planning Group. So I coordinate with her a lot on different things. So that's who she's referring to there. So yeah, I'll coordinate with her, see if we can get some information through TFMA. I think that would be great. So any questions or comments? I have another slide kind of looking ahead, but any questions or comments on what I presented today? So looking ahead, February 2025, I think we have a tentative meeting planned for that month. That's when, again, we'll have the amendment come in front of y'all to vote. We will also start talking about 2A at that meeting. I want to kind of get that in front of y'all. What we'll talk primarily there is about flood risk layering. So we create a flood quilt, which looks at all the flood plain mapping products that are out there in our region. So it's FEMA mapping, base level engineering that's developed by the Texas Water Development Board, Fathom data, which is that product, that flood risk mapping product that we use. And what we have to do is we layer them because they have different coverages and then different accuracies. And we have to make some decisions on what has priority over the other if they're overlapping. So if you have base level engineering and you have Fathom data, which one do we want to have priority over the other to create this flood quilt? So we'll be presenting y'all what's available and what our recommendation is for prioritizing those layers. And I don't know if we're going to have a decision then, but we will at least have a good discussion at that point. So just be ready for that. And then I want to go ahead and start talking about goals, since there's no prerequisite information necessarily for that. We can at least start talking about what our goals were last cycle and what kind of revisions do we want to make to those goals. I think hindsight, we have a lot more understanding of how these goals are used, and, you know, as they, it'll just be a really good discussion to talk about. Now that we know what the flood plan looks like, do we want to adjust our goals to reflect the priorities and interests of our region with better clarity? And then March and April, I don't know if we have any meetings scheduled for them, but in that rough time frame, I think we are having a meeting in March, potentially in April. Again, approve the amendment. If y'all don't approve it in February, we'll bring it back again. And then in April, we'll discuss questionnaire results, if we have a meeting then. Discuss the task 2B, which is the future conditions. So just like I was saying on 2A, looking at existing flood risk. Task 2B is looking at future flood risk using the future Fathom data. And then start talking about the task 4A process. So if y'all remember from last cycle, what we ended up doing is all the FMXs that we received, we had to do a screening process where we had to determine which ones you wanted to include for further evaluations versus ones you just wanted to say, no, we don't want to look at these any further. So for instance, one of the big criteria was, does this FMX meet the 1 square mile requirement? So we had a 1 square mile requirement. And if it didn't, then it automatically got defaulted to not recommended, and we didn't evaluate it any further. But y'all have to vote on that. And so I wanted to have that discussion in March or April to kind of talk about, are there different criteria that we want to look at now? Do we still want to do the 1 square mile rule, or are there other rules that we want to put in place to kind of screen some of these FMXs out for the task 5 further evaluation? So that's what I'll plan on bringing to y'all then.
Keep in mind, we'll talk about this as far as setting the next meeting date in an item below. But keep in mind, we're now scheduled for February, March, potentially, and April.
Yeah. My recommendation as far as the meetings would be, we may want to do it a little bit more frequently as we start getting heavy into some of these tasks. I think right now we've been every other month because we haven't been going too heavy on some of these tasks, but starting in March and April, we'll be really running all these tasks all at the same time. And I think it would be potentially beneficial to meet maybe once a month so that we can regularly update y'all without overwhelming y'all with information. So,
Charlotte, I see you have your hand up.
Do you, Brian, I wanted to ask a question related to the prioritization of the risk layers. Is that something that y'all are seeing and talking about with the Water Development Board, that there is, variability with the accuracy or those different layers across the state? Or is this something that maybe is not a discussion for a regional level, but is something that is more of a discussion at a higher level to be consistent amongst all the planning groups? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, we do. We are coordinating with other regions as well. We're very familiar with the BLE. We wanted to take a look at Fathom data and see how that. So we have a good understanding of the accuracy of BLE over the whole state. And BLE is kind of tricky because it varies in detail. Older BLEs was 1D without structures. Newer BLE is 2D with structures. And so there's different BLEs BLE products that have different levels of accuracy. So that's one of the factors that we're looking into.
So that would make it more regionalized rather than just a statewide decision. There's a lot of nuance, I guess, what I'm asking, even across each of these layers.
There is nuance across at least BLE. So that's kind of what we want to, we're working on like evaluating all that, and we're going to be presenting that to y'all so that y'all can kind of make a decision for the region. But we're also seeing what other regions, your neighboring regions are doing. So there's not a huge contrast between regions, but obviously we want to do what's best for our region, and the products do vary by region and within the region. So we'll evaluate all that and help give that information to y'all so y'all can make an informed decision. That, so
thank you. And I had one other question on their suggestion, I guess, on the, I followed that link that y'all had for the questionnaire, I suppose. Is it possible just to remove the requirement of take me to the map without entering data? Like, I would like to take a look at the map, but there's no reason for me to be entering my name and address. Like, that's not something you guys need to be tracking.
Yeah, I'll work with our, I do know that we had split that map out. I'll work with our IT guys and see if we can separate that out somehow.
Okay.
So it's accessible without putting in the email, so.
Okay, thank you.
Good comments.
So I think that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you, Ryan.